Good evening, Patriots. That was a great interview I did earlier. I mean, I don't mean it from, that sounds so arrogant. Hey, look at me. No, I was just talking to FDNY, Chicago Fire Department, was really just an enjoyable experience. I have, like I mentioned in the previous show, it was just, there's so much respect I have for the firemen. And when you really get into their training and see what they do, and the brotherhood and community that they develop in these firehouses, which is constant, consistent all over the place, just that the deep legacies occur in the older cities. It's a really a powerful statement when they're standing up and willing to walk away from that job. I don't think there is, it's different than most lines of work. Soldiers are taking huge stands that are doing that. They're taking massive sacrifices thanks to these jerks that are running our government. And I think, you know, what's really atrocious to me is we're not hearing any of the big names recognizing these efforts. It really does bother me in a sense of, you know, this is a good account, but there's much bigger accounts than mine and than what we have here. And we're just not hearing them raise up those voices. And I have to be honest, I mean, this is a big fight. I would like to hear President Trump acknowledge our soldiers that are sacrificing everything for the sake of this nation. I would like to hear President Trump acknowledge these firemen and the policemen that are stepping away. I would rather not hear President Trump say, like he just said, that if I was in office, I would convince people to take the injection. That irritates me to no end. I'll be very honest with you. It's like, no, you won't convince me to take the damn shot because it's not intended to be for humans. So a lot of this is where we are right now. We have to work very hard to give our support to these folks and realize that we truly are a remnant. Just before we begin, I just want to make a quick call out on a couple things. MyPillow.com/Bards. That's now our MyPillow page. It's very cool. So you still use your promo code Bards, B-A-R-D-S, but you can go to MyPillow.com/Bards. There's great savings there, great products there. And don't forget that you can go anywhere on that site and use that Bards promo code. There's all sorts of fantastic savings. Great time to get stuff for Christmas. Great time to get those orders in. I don't see MyPillow having the supply chain issues that the rest of the world seems to be having, which is interesting, isn't it? But nonetheless, we are in that place where we need to be thinking that way, and this is a great time to get Christmas gifts and support a great company and support a great CEO and support a great patriot and support a great Christian. What can you say? It's awesome. Mike Lindell, MyPillow. So go to MyPillow.com. /Bards. Enjoy that page. It's great. Cruise the whole site. Use your promo code Bards, B-A-R-D-S, and support a great American company, which you know where those dollars are supporting patriots and liberty at the same time. Also, Expedition Coffee, X-P-E-D, expeditioncoffee.com is where you're going to find what I consider to be the best coffee on the market because it's been engineered to be healthy, been engineered to give you that caffeine boost. Been engineered to give everything we need to boost the foundations of our health. And then as you go to expeditioncoffee.com, what you will find is you will find the products called the Health Gut Triad, which is a set of products that have been specifically designed for healing and sealing your gut to give you a stronger immune system and resistance to this nasty world that we are in, a COVID world where they're trying to just constantly beat our immune system down and kill us. And so go to expeditioncoffee.com, which is X-P-E-D, or go to bardsfm.com/coffee, and you'll get there by clicking the links there. Now, before we begin tonight, there's something else I wanted to draw your attention to. Let me get this site up again. This is, I just came across this. I didn't know Carrie was doing this. Dr. Carrie Madej, which is, it's CarrieMaday.com. Okay, this is a is where you go, and that's C-A-R-R-I-E. That's Carrie, and then it's all one word, M-A-D-E-J. So Maday.com, CarrieMaday.com. If you go over there, and if you will click on the research button or the research tab at the top, and you scroll down, there is a category called General Recommendations for Detoxing. And this is a fascinating bit of information she's put together. Dr. Maday is always pushing the window on natural remedies, and as she says it right on the top of her site, Dr. Carrie Maday, practicing the truth in Jesus through medicine. That says it all, right? So she has a whole bunch of stuff, a dental health, toxin overload, and then she gets into detoxing from EMF radiation, detoxing from vaxes. It's really amazing stuff that she's put together. And she is, there was a little piece I saw earlier, and she's going to be adding to this, but there's also some things to even detox in that from the nanotech. And it's really incredible. Borax is what she was saying in a tub of water, or in a tub. Some other stuff. I don't see it all here, but I'm going to go back and listen to the video I saw of her earlier. But really good stuff. And I've done some of the things that are on this site, so I can assure you that they do work. So check that out. And then while you're there, because I didn't really realize this until tonight, actually. But Carrie's work is all donation-based. So if you are so inclined, check out her. She has a support Dr. Carrie's work, and she has a PayPal donate link. She also has a Venmo, an at Venmo address you can use. And I'm also going to see if she has an address. I've used a lot of PayPal, but I'm trying to reduce the use of PayPal and Venmo. I don't know if you know this. Venmo is owned by PayPal. So it's the same doggone thing. And I never used to use Venmo because their security was atrocious. So anyway, I'm going to see if she has an address too. But she does have a PayPal. She has a Venmo, and you can support her work there. Her work is, there's the research, and then what I love what Carrie's doing is she is applying things for people to keep themselves healthy and have access to stuff. And she doesn't charge for any of her research. So just another great person to support in our Patriot community. And I am trying to get her back on the show. And I will, I'm going to have a talk with Pastor McLeod tomorrow night, in fact, and see if we can he's going to be in a seminar with her in a week or two. And there's a couple other pieces of business, then we'll jump in. Tomorrow night, we have Zach from Red Pill 78. Thursday night, we have Pastor Travis Graham. Next week, we're going to have, I'm trying to get Tom Renz on. We're going to have Dr. Larry Pilevsky, and we're going to have Dr. Lee Merritt on next week. So it's a real powerhouse week, and that's kind of leading up to that crazy holiday called Halloween. We'll give Halloween something to run for. We'll give them the real truth. It'll scare the bejeebies out of them. That'll be good. Well, Patriots, one of the things that I wanted to kind of reflect on tonight, and I'm going to start with 2 Corinthians 4 and take it through to 1 through 6. And we'll I'm going to read this first, and we'll start our discussion. Therefore, having the ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded their minds of the unbelievers, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So this is really, I think, at the core of everything that we are currently facing in this crazy, upside-down, Luciferian-controlled world. And it is a time, I swear my throat just started getting all scratchy when I started saying all that. It's probably because I said something earlier like kick Lucifer in the throat or something. He's like, "I'll get you." It's like, "No, you're not. I'm just going to drink a little water. I'll be just fine." But the whole point here is that when we start looking at the power of the gospel and the word of God, one is that to be very true to the text of the Bible and the intent, to pray on things and to let God kind of show us the way. As I've said, the one thing I do believe is as we read the Bible, that statement that was given to me was, you read the Bible and eventually the Bible reads you, which I think is very true. This is very true, and what it's saying here is that if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Sadly, right now, there are many who are not hearing the gospel, and they're locked into this world, which is in the way that we're understanding the way this injection is working, it is a slow death. It's essentially a harvest, and it's a harvest for the Luciferian side, and it's dark. The more that we learn about this, the more that we start to comprehend that this entire injection was designed to be a slow degradation of the perfection that God gave us. The latest bit of information that came out from an Israeli scientist, and also Mike Adams wrote about it today, is that it's about a 5% loss in your immune system per week once you take that injection. So if you follow that path, that's, what is that, 20 weeks roughly, it give or take, because not everybody reacts exactly the same way, but 20 weeks to where you have no immune system functioning at all. That's a phenomenal, phenomenal statement. If you listen to Dr. Stella Emanuel, she's one of the frontline doctors, and she is, frankly, one of the only ones right now that has stated, in my opinion, the blunt truth, which is COVID was this Trojan horse to get the bioweapon in your body. You've heard me say it. I haven't heard too many of the docs say it. I'm not saying none of them have, but she's been very bold. So that is an important reality for people to get. So we have the fact that they created the Trojan horse. People took the bioweapon because they created the culture of fear. And with the culture of fear, which they initiated on January 6th with this fake nonsense that the FBI instigated to make it look like a Weimar Republic revolt. And so then they've tried to frame one level of fear combined with yet another level of fear, which is the COVID thing. So everybody's in this panic state. So they have like these two levels of fear going all the time. And then they push people into taking this injection. But on a much deeper level, what is happening is that they are becoming increasingly veiled or blinded to the gospel, and they just don't see it. And that's principally that's the point where you've heard me say many times that if you've taken the injection, you're seeking salvation through a needle and not salvation through Christ. And as I don't care who I irritate with that, I'm going to keep saying it because I absolutely believe it. And I don't care if you've been saved, you took that damn injection, you walked away from Christ and God, and the only way back, in my opinion, is to get on your knees and beg for repentance. That's me. And I think that when we read passages like this in 2 Corinthians, we can see that sort of intensity in the way the gospel used to be taught. Because the whole thing has never been about us. And that's one of the biggest problems with this entire injection, is that it became about me, in metaphoric, not me particularly, but people turned it into the me problem. My life, my world, my this. So, you know, if you're facing, if you want to take this, and this is where I've also gotten pretty hard on, when people say, well, it's free will, there's a choice. So let's look at that from another perspective. You'll hear this constantly these days. It's like, I'm against the mandatory injection. It's people's free will. Okay. Let's put that in a proper context, which is the context of a world where God sits on the throne above this nation, which is what it was originally constructed to be, not where government sits on this role above this nation, and we're supposed to kiss their butt and treat them like gods, which I will never do. I never will bow to these people. So here is the deal with that, is that if God is sitting on the throne above this, and you say, this is a choice, all right, so let me give you what the choice actually looks like. The shot is a choice between worshiping God and suicide. That's what we're talking about. So this is where this whole nonsense of like, well, it's free will. And you're right, it is free will. It's free will for you to put a barrel in your mouth and pull the trigger and splatter your brains all against the wall. That is your free will. But that choice doesn't take you closer to God, and it's not something that you get forgiven for. So and that's essentially what you're dealing with this jab. So if you've been out there and you've taken the jab, and if you're listening to the channel, and I'm glad you're here, let me be very clear, I'm always glad to have anybody here, and anybody that you know that's taken the jab, that is like, well, I've taken the jab, but I've realized what I've done wrong. I got it. But let's get to the baseline of what you've done. You have essentially put a revolver in your body. You don't know when the thing is going to go off, and it's ultimately going to kill you, and you made that choice of suicide over worship of God. So how do you get back? You still have time. This is the amazing part of this. You still have time. And the way you have time is get on your knees and repent, and do so officially, like repent, like accept Christ into your life, do the whole thing. And that's usually might be a good idea to get a pastor there to work with you. If you live near Bear, our mod, he'll kick you in the tail, get you right where you need to be. He'll take you right over to Tony Wood by the ear. And if you lived it down in southern Georgia, I've got a friend that'll do the same thing. Form a Delta medic. He'll grab you by the ear and drag you right before Travis Graham. No problem on that. So, in all seriousness, each one of these injections takes you farther down that road of a version of suicide. So this is where, when we get to the core of what we're doing, and when people are saying things like, you know, it's a choice. We're not going to stand for the vax, or we're not going to stand for mandatory vaccinations. You know, that can't be. Okay, principally, legally, that's probably the one fight they have to take, but on a deeper level, we want everybody that's been involved in this, that has had the injection, we want you back with God. This is where we want you. I want to be clear about this. But if you have taken the injection, even early on, you're going to have to take the accountability for what that means. Yes, you might have been deceived. Maybe you thought you were doing the right thing, whatever. For whatever reason you took it, I don't care. But because it's designed to kill you, or at least modify your DNA in such a way that it severs you from God, that's a tiny little bit of a problem. That's not just a normal choice you made. And the way back to that is to repent. Right? For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Right there. This is what we're saying to anybody out there who's taken the vax. This is what we're saying. And we're not proclaiming this for us, but for Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as his servants for Jesus' sake. Why do we say this? Because Jesus died on the cross for all of us. While everybody sat around and bowed their head and twiddled their thumbs and, oh, I don't know this guy, as they beat the hell out of him and had him drag his cross, and he gets stoned and spit on, nailed him to the cross. And you know, it's just, that's the part I've told you. It's just this feckless statement for humanity. It just turns my stomach every time I think about it. And while I understand God sacrificed his son for us, I'm still not going to let humanity off that hook and go, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. You all turned your back on Christ, God's son. No big deal. You know, yeah, you got forgiven. No. I mean, that's the really the deeper accountability. When we start getting to that level, in my opinion, be very clear, in my opinion, when we start to look at those sorts of levels of this, this is an important reality of who we are as humanity, what we owe Christ, and what we better never do again. I think those are a couple great things, right? So in this moment, if we really take that and we look at where we are right now, and we look at, and, you know, we're sitting on one side as a remnant that has stayed away from the shot. We've stood strong. And we have this other side that has taken the shot. Here is just some basic accountabilities that we have to put before everybody and why repentance becomes such a big thing. On our side, we always need to repent because we're always going to do something every day. I think repentance on a daily basis is important because it puts you before God, it humbles you before God, and it shows your true heart. And let's be honest, we do have a lot of stuff going on right now, and I'll put myself on the top of that list without even hesitating, because I'd end up having to do it like a few times a week, of being super harsh and judgmental on somebody that took the vax in particular lately. My tolerance right now is like near zero, and I'm talking to God about it every day. I'm like, okay, God, look. And they're idiots. They took the vax. They didn't listen to you, and you're asking me to be compassionate. And yes, we have to be compassionate, but compassionate with compassion with accountability. And I think that's the big thing that we miss too often with compassion, is it's, yes, we have compassion, but if we're going to bring this into God, there has to be accountability. That's a fundamental aspect of repentance, is you are holding yourself accountable before God for what you have done. So now let's jump to the other side of where we are with those that took the injection and are starting to wake up. And it's like, you know what? We're blessed to starting to see this awakening happen, and we're starting to see the common ground come between people where we're putting aside these political differences. But here's the deeper part of that, besides, you know, no mandatory vax, because that's what's getting people right now, this mandate. People are like, wait a minute, I took two shots. I don't want to have to take a third. You can't mandate my rights. I made the choice before. Okay, cool. But not cool, because you made a choice before that affected everybody. Had we all stood together and said, no damn vax, we would not be in this fight. We would have stood up and rejected and pushed back against this, and there wouldn't have been an issue. They would have had their little temper tantrums. They would have done their little fits. They would have threatened everybody, whatever. But we wouldn't be sitting in a divided humanity, and we wouldn't be sitting with this rollout of more and more pressure to get injected. And the reason they've gotten this far is because there was a significant number of people, and I don't know what that number is, 30, 60 million, that fully complied with this nonsense and said, oh yeah, no problem, let me roll up my sleeve and take another. And some of those people now are like, oh, that was a bad idea. Yeah, it was a stupid idea from the beginning. And the reason it was bad is because you got there with lack of faith and appreciation for what you were standing for. You are nothing without God. Nothing. And on top of that, you exist in that realm with God because, and you have a chance to get back to God, let's put it like that, better said, because God sacrificed his only son to allow that sin that we all carry heavily to be forgiven, so through Christ to the Father. So when you take the injection and you're literally going, yeah, it sounds like a cool thing, whatever. I'll have a man-made substance that isn't approved, that was never designed to be in the human body. I'll put that in me to fix a problem that's not really a problem, instead of going to God and trusting in God that everything's going to be okay. That's kind of a big deal. And when you add to the fact that the vax is designed to kill you, that's kind of a bigger deal, because that's like playing Russian roulette. And it's on par with going, well, God, you know what? I did 16 rounds today of Russian roulette and I won. And I'm obviously you blessed me. No, God never blessed you for that. Lucifer was playing with you. And the 17th one, you're probably going to lose and you're going to get it right through the damn brain. So I really do push back hard with this idea that this is a choice. And I think that as we reapproach Scripture and we look at the commitment that the disciples made and what discipleship really is in bringing people to Christ, there is not a lot of room here for like being off the path. That narrow gate is a narrow gate. And that, as you're going through that narrow gate, it is becoming more demanding. You know, Pastor Graham said this the other day, and you're going to hear it on the interview on Thursday. It's a very good point that those who extol the Scripture and start talking about Scripture to teach Scripture in any form are held to a higher level of accountability according to God. Well, we all should be pushing that forward window, because we all need to be doing discipleship to push forward. So we have to be in a place where we realize that our accountability as a remnant is going up, as it should. And we are going to make mistakes, hence the necessity to keep ourselves in repentance before God. And in that process, we learn a humility to realize our true place in this world. We are nothing without him. I think that what we are approaching is a very dark, dark period. And I think most people that are looking at this are agreeing with this. We are dealing with a global cabal that is engineering a war against Christians, in particular American Christians right now. And that group of American Christians is growing larger, because there's the remnant and the awakened, whether they're taking the injection or not, we're coming back to a center point of the love and appreciation for our Lord. That puts the burden on us to continually press into that place of repentance and making sure that we will humble ourselves before God and keep him before in all things to restore him on the throne of this nation. That is going to be what wins this fight. They are intentionally creating shortages of food and critical supplies. They are intentionally forcing the collapse of the medical system to cause additional deaths and pain. They are forcing the collapse of the policing system so that they can escalate levels of violence. They are forcing the collapse of the fire departments to take away that safety and that we would have normally in a society. And with that, you'll see more Antifa, more BLM, more riotous type of actions, which will cause fires, which there'll be no firemen to fight. This is their plan. This is you can see their damn playbook. These people hate you. They have only one intention, to destroy you and subjugate you. And the American Christians are the most dangerous people in the world, because we are the only country that by our first document, the Declaration of Independence, our founding fathers establish God on the throne above all things in this nation. We are literally a theological monarchy with a people's republic underneath that. This is a powerful reality that we have to grasp. So our greatest weapon in this fight is not only our faith, which is fundamental, our faith and love of God is fundamental, but it's our discipleship, which means getting into the community, engaging people, and doing things for people to make sure they're okay. We need to be looking out to help one another, okay? And we need to find those ways to help people, help each other in our community. We need to help, and there's a lot of people that are going to be in need, but there's a lot of great things we can do. I'm anxious for you to hear the conversation with Pastor Graham and I on Thursday, and I'm going to leave some of those topics because he has a really great discussion about discipleship in the fundamental things that we can do to make huge impact at the end of that interview, and that's going to be Thursday night. So I'm not trying to tease it up, but I'm going to leave some of that because it's a really good discussion. But I want to give you some thoughts on this that I think are very important right now. We know that there's going to be people shortage of food. We know people are going to be short of heat. We know people are going to be short of medical issues. And we typically talk in terms of, when we talk about health and wellness in our homes, we need to have enough for ourselves and others to help our community. But I want you to also consider anonymous gifting, because it's a really beautiful way of helping other people. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a little story that I did today. This is not in any way. I was drawn to this by God in prayer. I'm just going to be very clear, okay? And this is something I followed, and it just happened like God does things. Okay, so I've been just praying on, you know, different things I can do in my community, and I'd taken my chainsaw over to get tuned up. And it was on my heart. It's like, I bet there's, and this, I live in a, what has always been a logging community. And like our timber, our wood cutting permits in the timber area are free now. And so we can get up to 6 cords of wood a year. And we are a wood burning community. We always have been. But with that, people have to cut wood. And it struck me as I was praying. I'm like, you know, I'll bet somebody can't afford a chainsaw. And they need one. So when I picked up my chainsaw to get it repaired, and it was $20, I asked the guy there, I said, I assume that you have families that could use a chainsaw. And he said, in fact, I do. He said, they really could use one. And we were both talking about how this is going to be a cold winter. So I gave him some money, cash, to pay for a chainsaw. And I just said, look, I just want you to buy one for a family. And he looked at me and he's like, I know the exact family that needs this. That was God guiding me, and it was just a great moment. And what we need to be doing is looking out in a great way for other people. And I don't, you know, like I said, it's great because there's no name tied to that except it's a blessing. And God will guide that, and God will take it. And what I love about the way God leads these sorts of gifts is these are the gifts that empower people. They aren't gifts of here's money and to be a welfare. These are gifts of like a tool where this person can use it to keep their family warm. They can use it to make money and make some money on it by cutting wood and selling wood or whatever they do. I'm just, my prayers were that's that way. It's just guide me to the right gift. So consider as we go through here, that whole principle of you can give a man a fish and he'll feed his family for a day, but you can teach a man to fish and he'll feed his family for life. We need to really be structuring the way we give in such a way. I mean, obviously people are going to be in immediate need, and there are those out there in immediate need. But we're a lot better off if we can provide mechanisms for people to stand up and to do their thing. Now, I just want to be clear on something, okay? Because, and this is part, was I want to thank all of you patriots They were part of Bard's Fest for that little gift today. We ended up with a bit of money after Bard's Fest that was all donations. And that small amount of money I've been applying into things like this. So for those of you that gifted in Bard's Fest or who have donated through the PayPal, I just want to thank you, because that's where some of this money has come from. And it's allowed for some of this gifting to help others in a very critical time. Okay. So this is how we elevate, as I like to say, we are in a world now where we are raising each other up as we all move forward. Not this nonsense of redistribution of wealth. That's just stupid. That's suppression, egalitarian nonsense. And that's not the world we're in. God is about prosperity in so many ways. And there's always somebody in chat that's just going to totally run me off the rails. This is the best right here. Send me some money for reading glasses. Podbean is killing my eyes. Always somebody. You always got to have one in the crowd. Always got to have one in the crowd. Oh, my goodness. I love you guys. You're awesome. I like to tell you these stories, and I want to be very clear when I share these stories. I told you in this last week when I was talking in the interview we had with Michael Beatty, a great interview, that really what God's put on my heart is something that's been hard to accept, okay? That what we're doing here is building a ministry, all right? And the more that I embrace that, it is about living that. It's about discipleship. It's about living that place. So what I don't want to come across, and I hope I never do, and I'm sure once in a while I will, and you guys will probably smack me down, and that's well-deserved. But it's not about boastfulness, and it's about like, look what I did, none of that. These are, when I'm telling you these stories, they're very sincerely driven through prayer and what's on my heart. And every time I do that, it's just amazing how God works. So when I was on the way over to the chainsaw shop, I was literally talking to God. I'm like, look, God, I think this is the right thing to do. This is what I felt, but I'm going to leave it to you to open that door and see what happens. And it was just amazing how that all transpired. I mean, literally when I mentioned it, the owner of the shop looked down at a list he had and he goes, yep, I have the exact family. And he was on his heart. And it was just awesome. So we need to be living into this world that we're doing. I can't, if we're not living what God wants us to do. I mean, if I'm going to say there's a role model in my life, it's Paul, right? And that's from the home churches to being engaged in the communities to working in hostile environments. He was moving in and around the Romans, and they weren't exactly friendly to Christians, right? So we're in a great place right now to do great things. I think that's the one thing to remember is that as we give, God gives more. And it's as we are stewarding, God's going to guide us to do more. And how we give just depends on things, right? Sometimes giving is maybe you've been drying some fruit and you've got a little bit of extra and you're going to give. I know that's, I will tell you honestly, that is one thing that I've mentioned to you before. And when we do the preps, it's always in the back of my mind that someone may need something and we need to be prepared, not only for ourselves, but others. The only way I see us getting through this fight, as the light is shown and shown onto evil, and as it is exposed out of the darkness, is that we have to walk that path in that body of Christ. If there's something to take from the story of earlier this evening, from the interview with the captain from Chicago Fire Department, it was, he said it, but I don't know how many people grabbed the whole thing, but it's very important. And I asked him if the brotherhood was still holding together in these difficult times. What I can assure you is these 6,000 people that are standing up to this tyranny, their same leadership that they do at the firehouses is going to maintain its integrity when they step away, and they're going to be checking on the guys, and they're going to be seeing who needs what, and they're going to be making sure people are getting together. And they're going to do more than that. They're going to go back into their communities, and they're going to check on their communities. Why? Because that's who they are. Man, I'll tell you, that's just, though it isn't officially discipleship, that is the type of thing we're talking about in terms of discipleship. And we need to be doing that same thing here through the networks of this remnant that we build. I would pray that in the place that we are as Bard's Nation, that there are, and that's, like I keep saying, we are actually on starting that migration tomorrow on my behalf and the leadership over to Clout Hub, and then we'll be in there next week to get things moved over. But I'm hoping that these networks of people build through this, and you say you have Telegram right now as well, but to start building those true connections with one another and building the county by county links and being able to have trusted relationships that you can use and talk to and making sure that we're looking out for each other. It's very important, because what we're heading into, in my opinion, is a gift that God's giving us, but it's different because we have not grown up in this world. And in this world where it is where God's giving us the gift of realizing that we have to rely on one another. We have to learn again to love one another, to love our neighbor, to take care of those that are in need and to protect the innocent. We have to go back to that. That's a fundamental thing. And above all, keep our love true to Him. And when we do that, I think that we are at an amazing place where we're starting to rebirth that place where we are the servants for Christ's sake. And that's so important. So as we walk, let us seek, let me encourage everybody to seek the heart of God that shows you where to give anonymously, but to give to help others in a beautiful way. And I think when we get to that place, it's a true gift. And that sort of giving that has no name, that has no identified boastfulness for yourself or award or anything like that. That's not what we're talking about. When we give that way and we give anonymously that way, we're truly pushing God's gift into the world and letting God just take it and run with it. And we've done his bidding. There you go, God. We've done that. And just let God take it and go. And you never know. You know, you don't even know what that means, what that looks like. But that's back to the sower of seeds, right? I mean, we're sowing into the world in a beautiful way. And to me, it also represents the parable of the talents, because we're taking that and we're not burying it in the ground, but we're pushing it out and we're watching it grow. And it's growing in amazing ways. God is great. And when we follow that path and we do that great thing, we are amplifying our world in ways that biblically is we're told about, but we're in a time, and as we're doing that, we're amplifying our world, we're filling our silos, and we're doing it in such amazing ways. And it is the rewards that will come with that come because we're staying dedicated and pure to our path as servants of our Lord Christ Jesus and through Christ to the Lord, to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are in a beautiful time. And we ask that in this time, with all the stress, nonsense, with even aliens like Mayor Lightfoot that are attacking human beings in the fire department and the police, we really pray that we can see the glory and the beauty of this time that we are together in what you're giving us as an opportunity. And as we live in this time, to realize that the gift, it's so much of the gift that you're giving us is not only to see what the evil is and see where it is, but we're also realizing how important we are in a fellowship together and what that means in getting through these tough times. We have a storm coming. We can see it. It's being engineered to do just such a thing as to try to break our will and force us to submit to their injection, to their digital currency, to their world of absolute enslavement. And we will not bow under any circumstances, Lord. And we know that we'll be turning to you many times to ask for that strength and that endurance. But let us never forget, Lord, and we just pray for this blessing for everybody, that the fellowship that we have is what allows us to endure the storm by respecting the love that we have for each other. That in this process, we are able to break down the artificial divisions that exist, that for those that have misguided in their choices, even in the vax, that they can find a way back through salvation to Christ and to Christ to you, Lord, and that we can be there as part of that, as one community. Let us learn again what it is to love and respect one another. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So this is, I say it every night, and it's not, I don't see this as an easy path. That's the, everything's going to be okay because the white hats have got this going and this is going to happen. I don't do that. What I see is the true hope and in the truth in the moment of when we hear from the captain of Chicago Fire Department, or we get the understanding of our path together, our strength of things like at Bard's Fest, or the freedom U.S. Freedom Flyers that are standing up together. And when we see this sort of strength of people drawing the line and going no more and forcing the change to happen and putting God before them in all they do, that's the power of God's children coming together and just drawing the line. And part of this, we're going to have to accept that we're not going to be pleased necessarily. And I have to deal with this a lot because I'm a pretty hard line when it comes to dealing with evil and stupid. I just don't have a lot of patience for it. And it's probably something God's going to work with me on, and I'll just let that be as it is. But we're not necessarily going to like everything that we get out of this. But as long as we're staying true to the path of God, God's putting us where he needs us. We also don't have any idea what the timeline is of what we're dealing with. We are witnessing a God-level event on earth. This is it. We are in it. It's not if it's going to happen. It's not when it's going to happen. It's happening now. And if you doubt that, look around and ask yourself, how is it possible that so many things on a global level can be happening instantaneously? And if I hear somebody go, well, it's Patriots in control, I think I'm just going to slap them. Because it's dumb. This is the masterful work of God's hand. And it's God moving things like a master chess player to such a degree that Lucifer can never, ever have a stance on this. There is no possible way that the enemy can defeat the diversity, complexity, and talent of God's army. We have an unbelievable amount of adaptability. As long as we are true to him, nothing but his victory stands before us. But I also don't think that we have unlimited time because we're in this storm. And so in that sense, don't be wasteful in time. And this is just on my heart to say, I've been very compelled to do a lot of things this last year on a certain time, and I've listened to God, and amazing as I reflect back how every single thing I pushed to do listening to God was appropriately timed and needed as we are now. So I'm encouraging the same. Don't hesitate. If it's on your heart, listen and execute and keep your prayers focused on where God wants you to go and what he wants you to be or do. Because God's moving. And I think it was very well said, and I believe I read it the other night when we were going over Esther, and that is, God is, if you aren't going to respond to God, he's going to find somebody that will. That's the type of world I believe that we're in right now, which is things are happening. So don't be wasteful in time and put off those feelings that you get in your heart. Pray on them and respond to them. And by that, I don't mean don't become the compulsory shopper either, like going on Amazon going, I had this sudden need to get 50 bags of popcorn. That's not really what I'm talking about. Even if it is chocolate covered, caramel dribbled with salt, don't do it unless you prayed on it and you're really clear God has got it, or unless you just have a massive craving. But don't put that on God. I think you know what I'm getting at, is as we're feeling this place with God moving in us, listen, respond, and move. We have a lot. This is a war, and it's a very, very real war with very, very real consequences. In fact, this is probably one of the nastiest wars we could have ever envisioned, in part because so many people don't even understand there's a war going on as they're getting slaughtered. So let us keep that view before us. Let's keep focused in our prayer and our love of the Lord. And let's listen and make sure that it is true in all that we do, that we are servants in Christ Jesus and through Christ Jesus to our Father. And with that selflessness and we walk, we are literally changing the world in a way that no one and nothing can stop it. And that's beautiful. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent, always press into the fight. Our prayers are so critical right now, and our listening through our prayers, being honest in our heart, talking to God, bringing that together, such a powerful, powerful thing we have to do. And God is with us. He's never going to forsake us. I say this so many times. The only problem we ever have is doubting God. Let's never doubt God. Even when you feel like, I don't know, put yourself into his fold. You can't carry this world on your own. And the one thing, that if we want to learn one big lesson right now with all of this vax nonsense, it's how many people have been wandering alone in the world thinking they could take the world on. I got news for you. It's not working out well. Let us never forget that beauty of standing in God's grace. And in the end, God's going to win this thing. He's got it hands down. But the most amazing part, the most beautiful part, the most trusting part is he's working through us. What an incredible thing to say. So I'll see you tomorrow night for Bards FM and Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, thank you, good night, and out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose. Reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now.
sun sets down over the hill where the lost got found. Reaching through somehow, oh, you're an island when the world is too loud. When the seasons change, I know the space between us will stay the same. Resting on this faith, when your soul answers calls far away.
Safe place to hide from the rain.